is yours, the world is yours.
Welcome to Rex's World. I am Rex. This is my world. Welcoming with me, of course, my co-host, Brian Brooks.
Hey, yo.
And with us today, we've got Ryan Black stepping in, host of the Talking Sports of the Coop here on KXRW. My closest and best friend.
Watch it.
I've got you beat there's years a challenge and road that. Trips, my
there's,
friend.
There's a competition going on between these two. But we are here to talk comedy. We're talking wrestling. We are talking all things
Can we talk sports?
We can talk sports if you want.
Awesome. I want to talk sports. This is the year that I have been giving baseball the honest try.
I was just going to tell you.
I love that. I love that.
Ryan discovered.
Yeah, he didn't
tell you. Brian has discovered America's pastime.
That's amazing.
He's just now discovered. He learned how
to
play. Like, he's like, what is this sticking ball? Why isn't it on ice?
Yo, we went over to Emily's parents the other night for dinner, and Emily's dad found like a foam wrapped baseball bat and like a foam like baseball for Olivia, just like throw and hit in the backyard. Dude, when she really listens and she hits it right, like she can hit it pretty okay.
Some softball in her feet.
Some softball, dude, and she's got a pretty good arm. And nice. Now her range is like Charlie Sheen in what's that movie?
Major League.
Major League. Yeah. Her range is like Charlie Sheen in
Wild Thing.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I even heard Emily's dad at one point go just a bit outside, and
I'm into the wide and the pitch.
Dude,
it's so crazy.
But she's got a cannon. But yeah, I'm giving baseball a try. Everybody I know is like gnarly into baseball, which I get. I've only been to 2 MLB games in my entire life.
That's more than I've been to.
Really?
I've never been to an MLB
that's
game.
That's so crazy to me.
I've never been to a Mariners. Mariners would be the closest.
Dude, that's so gnarly.
We got a road trip up to Seattle.
Ryan, how many MLB games have you been to?
Over 100.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
so I grew up in Pittsburgh. I grew up with season tickets to the Penguins, Pirates, Steelers, Pitt football, Pitt basketball. So there were some
Richie
days
Rich over here. Good Lord.
Some days my dad would be like, "What game do you want to go to?" You know, we can go this one or this one. So yeah, I went to a lot of baseball games growing up.
I've been to a Super Bowl,
been to an MLB All-Star game that actually happened in the same year. Got to see the Home Run Derby. My dad, I was at concessions. My dad dropped a Home Run Derby baseball.
Yeah.
Somebody hit the ball. He dropped it. Didn't catch it on the bounce. And I will never let him live that down.
Wow, that's crazy.
Never let him live that down. Ryan Howard's Home Run Derby baseball should have been mine. That's actually why I PC Ryan Howard, just to throw it in my dad's face.
Yeah.
I got a couple of Ryan Howard autograph cards, and I'm like, remember when you missed the Home Run Derby?
They could have added to this.
Yeah, my dad was like, I should have never told you that. And I'm like, I don't know why you did.
What Super Bowl did you go to?
Super Bowl 40, Steelers, Seahawks.
One the Seahawks almost won.
Yeah.
Wow.
The one the Seahawks like raged, called a cheating scandal for.
Yet they missed 2 field goals in an indoor stadium.
Yeah, yeah, that was, yeah, they lost. What was the big controversy?
There was a couple of controversial calls. Ben's touchdown is the biggest. Like, if you look at
he was on the ground. So Ben Roethlisberger's on the ground on the goal line, right? And the ball's already on the ground, and like he's on the ground. So it's like the play should be over, and you see him go.
He moved it forward, and then
in one of
the replays, it looks like the ball crosses the plane. That's the one play in that game. I'm like, okay. That's questionable. But you still take that touchdown away. Seattle misses 2 field goals. The Steelers still win that game 14-10.
I just remember a lot of Seahawks fans.
Oh, there's still,
sure, yeah.
still
sure,
to this
yeah.
day.
After winning
still to this day, Seahawks fans are up in arms about that. You know, we've pissed some people off just talking
about that. I was looking at the the Patriots released their schedule for this upcoming year, yeah. and I was like, cool, let's see when they come, like, if they come to yeah. Seattle, and, like, you know, yes, look, all right. I'll be the first to admit it. That was the worst Super Bowl game the Patriots have ever played in their entire lives.
Super boring.
It was boring so boring. It was so boring.
Especially
it was
the
so
first half.
I nothing just happened. I watched in just like shock and awe. I was like, man, this is I knew it was gonna be hard because every single day leading up to it at the barbershop, that's all I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You guys are going to get smoked. Yeah. Your easy schedule got you here. You got nothing. That's it. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, oh, my God, dude, everybody was right.
The only reason you're here is because Bo Nix got hurt and the Broncos didn't have their quarterback in the championship game.
And the Blizzard, too, like the Blizzard Bowl, like the Blizzard game, dude.
A lot that went into
this. Yeah, so I look at the Pats schedule. I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm looking. First game of the Patriots regular season in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Super Bowl rematch. Week one. Gotta love that.
I had to.
It was just like, oh, God.
They had to.
I know Seattle hardcore kids who are like, you know, like diehard. And I'm just like, I don't know, dude. I don't know if
I think it's going to be a far more competitive game.
Oh, 100%.
This time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys got a shiny new receiver that you guys got from Philadelphia and AJ Brown.
Oh, yeah.
You guys will be healthy.
The defense made a couple of pretty good acquisitions in free agency too.
Yeah, exactly. And Seattle made some good moves, but they also lost a lot of good. They lost a lot of key players. Yeah. Their number one running back is now a Kansas City Chief. Oh, so I mean, there's a lot of factors that come into it as well.
So. That gives me a glimmer of hope. And I know I'm alone in this, but go Pats.
Oh yeah.
I want to ask Jono this. Jono, what is the biggest sporting event you have ever been to?
Oh, WrestleMania 19.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
My God.
That's the one in Seattle, right?
That was in the one Safeco. Yeah.
That was in the baseball stadium.
All right. Walk us through. Give these three wrestling marks like your feeling as a wrestling guy. At WrestleMania 19 at Safeco Field.
Okay, so being in a baseball stadium,
yeah,
automatically everything has like a different texture to it.
Yeah,
sure.
It's not just wall to wall fans. There's the structure. It felt very much like a palace.
Yeah.
The Titantron was kind of small.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But it wasn't that the Titantron was so small. It's just that everything around it was so
like
large,
so massive. Sure.
So that,
like nothing compared to like what they do today.
Yeah. Well, it's just you go to a football stadium or basketball stadium show, and the Titantron can go all the way up to the ceiling, and the fans wrap in a semicircle around.
You're in a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Like the seating specific there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
And so, we were in the nosebleeds. Acknowledge we were up in the second level, but I loved it up there.
I was going to say, did it matter? I mean, I feel like there was a good spot and all over.
It was, there were no bad seats. No. Yeah. It was interesting because you could see the pitcher's mound, which was just basically in the middle of the crowd.
Really?
Yeah. The seats, there's just a break in the seats with a little orange tape.
Yeah.
Around. And I go, okay, well, sure. Now I know what it looks like when you're at a game. It would have been a fantastic baseball seat that we were in because we were right behind home base.
Oh. Nice. So where, in relation to home plate, where was the Titantron and all of the entrance stuff?
The Titantron, let's see, relative to our studio here, the Titantron would have been in Beaverton.
Sure, yeah.
Was it like in the outfield?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it was on like the other side of the field, right?
If I recall, yeah. We were looking more or less straight over the ring at the
Titantron. I think they came in through where the pitchers what is that?
The bullpen.
I think that's where they came from the locker room. Through the bullpen and then out.
Dude, that's so sick.
I'm pretty sure.
I remember when they brought baseball stadium shows back a few years ago and they had them for Royal Rumble and they were doing the entrances out of the dugout.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
I like when they walked up.
Yeah, dude,
that's like the sickest thing in the
world. I think baseball stadiums are a great setting for wrestling shows.
Dude, and you got to see one of the best bands of all time, dude.
Oh my
dude. God. You got
I'm just gonna let you go.
You got to see one of the most culturally important bands of that time play on the grandest stage of all time to what could be considered the greatest wrestler of all time, dude.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
Oh my god, dude. What I want
to love Limp Bizkit, man.
I know y'all be loving this right here. Let me tell you something. Yo, if I get access to a time machine, first place I'm going. First place I'm going. WrestleMania 19 to watch Limp Bizkit, dude. 100%.
Did it go through your mind when Brock did the shooting star press? Oh my god, he broke his neck.
Yes. That was, we were.
Could you see, now, could you see, like, all right, everything on the Jumbotron, like on the Titantron and stuff, like, right. But from where you were sitting, like, could you see everything marginally clearly?
Like the ring, watching.
Like the ring, like watching.
Well, it was.
Like 50-50.
It was about, you know, if you dropped a poker chip in the middle of the table, it was kind of like that. So, I mean, like, you could see it happening. And man, okay. I remember Brock did that move and we're like, you could watch the people that couldn't see the screens because they were on the ground. It was like a ripple in a pond
where you could
just almost watching them becoming aware,
yes.
radiating out from the ring.
That was 100%.
Everyone's like,
that wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, we didn't. And there was this kind of lull, like there's, you know, there's one going, yeah, back behind me somewhere that was, he wasn't really watching. You know, he was on his ninth beer. He was just happy to be there.
Yeah, dude. But, he was just happy to be there.
And he was trying to survive.
And for those listening that don't understand what we're talking about here, there was a point where Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle were wrestling for the WWE champion, WWE title. Brock goes up for a shooting star press, which is a backflip, a from the top rope. You jump off the top rope, you do a backflip, and you land on the opponent. It was the most athletic, like awesome looking thing until he started to land, and we're like, he's not gonna get all the way over.
Yeah.
And he's straight up and down when he lands. Right. Yeah.
And he ended up hurting Kurt on that move
Kurt,
too. Yeah.
He hurt Kurt and like the only reason he wasn't paralyzed was because of how much muscle packed he had on his neck. Like how much of those how big his freaking
traps were. Yeah.
Saved his life.
You would describe that a shooting star press in as like a gainer.
A gainer. Rather than
like a regular backflip.
Yes.
Just not to be like, you know, technical, but just so people understand.
It's essentially a
standing gainer backflip.
Yeah.
Like you're backflipping forward off of the top turnbuckle.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you something. If for anybody who has never been near a professional wrestling ring, I recently during training had to go up on the top turnbuckle to either do a splash onto the like mattress crash pad or to do a front flip. And I'm not the most nimble guy. I'm not the smallest guy. I got up there and I was in a regular like 16x16 tall sized ring. And I got up there and I was just like, I don't belong up here, dude. There is no way that I should have been on that rope.
So,
kudos to Brock, dude. Like, that's just nutty.
It was not where he needed to be. And you could tell even when he got up on the top turnbuckle.
There, yeah.
You're just like going like, it was kind of like, you know, when you see the diver get on the tall
high dive.
And you look down and go, that pool's not even big enough. You're going to jump over it. Yeah, that we almost felt that way.
Oh, sure.
Because where we
were, he was going to overshoot.
Yeah, we were looking perpendicular, so we were able to watch him jump, and we could see. So we saw the flip, and we're kind of like, you know, mathematically in our heads doing the trigonometry, going like,
yeah, he's not like that.
This isn't happening. He needs about 9 more feet of air to ground before to finish
Dude,
making this turn.
That's crazy.
It just was like not. He should never have done something like that. He never had to.
Yeah.
No, there was no reason for it.
He's a big piece of meat. He doesn't need to fly like
that. It was like, watch what I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And WWE TV rings are 20 by 20.
Mm. Okay.
From what I've learned, like it, you know, it's 14, 16, 18, yeah. 20. And even when Rex and I used an 18 for the first time I ever stepped into an 18, I was like, oh my God, these rings are huge. Mm-hmm. And that's not even the biggest ring.
Right.
No,
right.
No, it gets bigger.
Bigger than that.
Yeah.
Do you guys use a 16 now?
No, when we rent from DOA, we use an 18.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, it's an 18 by 18 low boy.
Okay.
And they have another ring that they use for their other shows.
Uh-huh.
That is an 18 by 18, and it's called a conversion ring. So you can run it as a tall ring, or you can run it as a low boy. Ring.
Oh, mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, it's two rings in one. Oh, yeah. It's so sick. Yeah, and all you do is just turn the ring post around, and that's it, high or low.
Did you get any souvenirs from WrestleMania, Jono?
I got a Hurricane. This is like, because he had just started, you know. So,
sure.
But he already had some merch, and he had this cool little deal. It was the Hurricane logo that had little LEDs in it, and it would kind of like flash in sequence and stuff like that. And it was the coolest thing. I ended up showing it to him like years later.
Oh, that's really rad.
And that was pretty cool because I'm a big Hurricane mark.
Yeah.
Shane Helms, man.
And it still works.
That's you still awesome. Have it?
Yeah. And the battery. Oh, my God. I haven't changed the battery and it still runs.
That's
awesome. I'm like, incredible. That's amazing. WWE quality.
Right, show and tell with Jono next time.
Yeah.
That was the last of that great stretch of manias. You had 17, 18, and 19 were all extremely solid WrestleMania shows.
Yeah.
We haven't had a 3-year stretch.
WrestleMania 20 was what? WrestleMania Goes Hollywood? Is that one?
No, that was when they went back to Madison Square Garden. That was 21.
21
was Go Hollywood because that's when Cena won his first title beating JBL.
Yeah, we're going to have to go Hollywood here and cut to commercial. We will be right back with Rex's World on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver 99.9.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
中 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
Welcome back to Rex's World. I am Rex. We lost Brian Brooks, but we're going to continue to soldier on, and we're going to keep talking about pro wrestling. I'm here with Ryan Black and, of course, our producer, Jono. And Jono got to witness something we're all still kind of
amped up.
Yeah, you know, and trying to understand. And that was WrestleMania 19 here in Safeco Field in Seattle, Washington. And you got to see Shawn Michaels take on Chris Jericho.
So you got two guys very evenly matched, very evenly strengthed, and I would say probably charismatically. Like a lot of people were, it was like the Civil War. It was brother versus brother.
I was going to say it was probably right down the middle fan-wise.
I went with like 12 people, and I would say six of them, you know,
we're pulling for Sean.
We're pulling for Sean. Well, you know, my fiance didn't pay any attention to wrestling. She didn't care about any of it. But she did think that Chris Jericho was cuter. So
there
I
you
guess
go.
I
that, that makes, okay. So that makes all the difference.
We'll put her in the Jericho six. But it was very much a like the kind of match you almost felt like you almost regretted it having to happen because it was hard to really pull a real good guy, bad guy scenario. But at the same time, that made for some just hella drama as far as they would put on the super kicks, the walls of Jericho, which felt like it was on for like hours, you know, over the course of that match. And I got to say, it's probably the highlight. You know, I hear Hulk Hogan and The Rock were in it somewhere, but you know, after watching Jericho do his thing, yeah.
Oh man. And what a perfect, like, it's funny to say this, but like a perfect wrestler to put in the walls of Jericho would be Shawn Michaels.
100%.
Somebody like Shawn Michaels just struggling. He's reaching out. He's like, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to tap. And the whole world's like, no, please don't. And then he doesn't. And he's got the stamina and the work rate to be able to hold that move for so long.
Yeah.
Well, that was when he was just coming back after being gone for so many years with the back stuff, and so I mean, yeah. you got a guy coming back that's just at the height of his popularity, about to start a great run and a great year. That was the year. Later that year, he won the world title in the Elimination Chamber.
So he kind of like had his twilight years of his career.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's when things really kicked off. Everybody thought he was done and gone, and then he came back and just continued to soldier on.
Right.
And, like, had a whole second character story, or not character arc, but a whole second part of his career arc there.
Yeah, whole second life.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you continue down this list, and you see things like you said, the Rock and Stone Cold took each other on in that match. We had Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, we talked about earlier, and Undertaker made an appearance in that show, Mr. McMahon versus Hulk Hogan. And yet out of all of those, the one that sticks out the most is Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho. And that there's no title on the line. There was, I don't exactly remember the storyline they were trying to tell. They obviously had a story there, but there was no bells and whistles. There's no ladder. There's no table. It was just a match and people absolutely ate it up. It was beautiful.
If I remember, I think the story was kind of essentially like Shawn was coming back and Chris was like trying to, not like he was, the way his gimmick was appearing, it was like copycat of Shawn.
Oh.
And so that was kind of the entwining thing in that was, you know, he was essentially, everybody thought he was going to be the next Shawn Michaels. Mm. And so that's why that feud ran so well.
Right, right.
That makes sense.
Can you feel my boots?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Can you feel my boots? Step into the ring with me kind of a deal. But I mean, just look it up and down the card. I mean, we had one of my favorite tag teams ever at that time, retaining the tag team titles, Team Angle, who was Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. I enjoyed them as the America's Greatest Tag Team when they had their run on SmackDown after they broke up with Kurt Angle. They beat the Guerreros and Benoit and Rhino in a triple threat tag team match.
I forgot about that tag team. Benoit, I rewatched that Dark Side of the Ring last night.
Yeah, you were telling
me. It's funny that you brought that up. And I was telling Ryan this. You want to hear something kind of funny?
About Chris Benoit. No, this should be interesting.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, get the timestamps ready.
So his son, and granted, this interview was about four to six years ago. He was with Chris Van Vliet. It was like shortly after the Dark Side of the Ring debuted, and like AEW was still going on and stuff. He was convinced that he was going to be able to train and then start wrestling either in New Japan or AEW as Chris Benoit Jr. and thought that that was going to be okay.
Huh. Yeah.
And that he was going to be able to do that. Gimmick. Yeah, and that he was going to be able to do that. and that it was a smart idea.
Dad's, like, ring gear and
stuff.
Yeah,
and even down to his song.
Yeah.
Like bring everything back. And his idea was that he was going to celebrate everything that was celebratable about his dad as a wrestler and not, you know, the rest of it. And it's like, unfortunately, the rest of it comes with it. It will never not come with it.
Right.
And even down to the point where he killed another WWE star.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Benoit was woman.
Right. Yeah.
Before she retired.
Right. Right.
And she could have a spot in the Hall of Fame if this whole thing wasn't tied to her. And honestly, they probably could still give it to her. But
yeah. I mean, I get the argument, you know, the Hollywood argument of can you separate the art from the artist?
Yeah.
The role from the actor. And because, I mean, Chris Benoit as a character was, I don't think there was any real difference. I think that was always Chris Benoit. But
right.
But if you could say, okay, Chris Benoit in the ring was
stupid. I mean, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Fantastic. I mean, like, he's a textbook.
Right.
You can learn everything you need to know from Chris Benoit. But the question is, can that be? That's the problem with wrestling.
Yeah.
For real, is that you cannot. You're always living like Ric Flair. You know, the line between who you are in the ring and who you are in real life is blurred if there is a line at all.
Right. Yeah, because everybody wants to live vicariously through you.
Right.
At the end of the day.
It would always make me laugh when Hogan Knows Best was still a show and stuff, and they would still try to act like Terry was a person.
Yeah.
And it's like that guy doesn't exist.
Yeah.
He stopped existing a long, 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 long time ago.
That was
and
such
you guys
a
are,
bad
You guys are forcing to humanize Hulk Hogan. You're like, he's Hulk Hogan. Like, he's not anybody else. Yeah. He's Hulk Hogan. And some of those guys chose that.
Yeah.
And some of those guys could get away with it. Some of those guys could be the $1 million man and not make his entire world the $1 million man. Mm-hmm. You know, he got into some legal trouble, but like.
Well, and they really thought that Hogan Knows Best was going to be like the second coming of the Osborne show, which is crazy to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a terrible reality show.
And for them to use it to try to launch Brooks' singing career.
Yeah.
Well,
then he used and then he used his power when he was in TNA to try to, you know, progress her singing career. And then things happened and she disowned him.
Yeah. The Dark Side of the Ring on Jeff Jarrett and TNA is a great one, by the way. It's three parts. It's excellent on TNA. But, man, the idea that any of these guys could separate their character from at that time. Now it's pretty easy for a lot of these guys to kind of be two different people. But back then, even as the Attitude Era was ending and into those early 2000s stuff that we were getting and things like that, you were still living that gimmick. You were living the gimmick.
Right. And then you've got people on the other side of that, like The Undertaker, that for years and years and years lived the gimmick the right way, kept his head down, did what he needed to do, and, you know, up until a couple of years ago, until, you know, that veil was started to come out, really did we see him in doing any kind of interviews or in any other kind of light than that gimmick and that character. I mean, I think he's probably the best example of somebody protecting a gimmick for a long period of time.
Oh yeah, Eddie Guerrero was another one that was just irreplaceable. You didn't you didn't realize it until it was a little too late that this 100%. Guy was who he was.
I just the thing that so the saddest part of the whole Eddie thing is he was about to get the title back and have a second run.
Oh yeah,
as the WWE champion, and I wanted that so bad because his first run was good, but it was so short, and he put over JBL in such a good way, and that I really wanted him to come back and have another run with the belt. And so losing him the way we did, so close to him being able to really, I mean, he was already a megastar, but I feel like he was about to hit a next level of, you know, super stardom in a way. And so the Eddie one is the one that still stings to me, you know, to this day. I'm like, man, what if, you know, especially watching, you know, Dom now and, you know, seeing how similar they look and like seeing what they could have pulled from like the custody angle storyline. And you know, how that could have been like weaved into like today's wrestling and with Ray still being here. It's just the Eddie loss to me is that big one on my wrestling bingo card. I'm like, damn, what if we would have gotten, you know, another 20 years of Eddie Guerrero?
Yeah, absolutely. Because he would have held on to his ability to be in the ring for as long as possible. 100%. It would have been beautiful.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been sad. No. like watching Nature Boy give up the ring. it's so funny. You non wrestlers and maybe even comedy fans that are semi wrestlers kind of getting lost in the lore. We can tell you stories for days. We could tell you all sorts of crazy different things that happened, or did you knows, or even back to the Carney days, because wrestling is just so old. Pro wrestling is one of the oldest professions, probably closest to you know what, and out on the streets.
Yeah.
Jonah's like, what?
Selling ice cream?
Selling ice cream?
Is that a profession?
The world's oldest profession.
The world's selling oldest. Ice cream.
I did not know this. Yep. Rex's World. Stay tuned for more knowledge.
The more you know.
Trick or a treat.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. No, I still am so jealous that you got to see a WrestleMania live. I don't think that now, especially now with the way things are priced out and the way the events have grown to what they are, there's no way that I'd be able to catch it in that same kind of environment that you got to see. Like 18 and 19, like those, that 17, 18, 19 were like the gap of like the last true pay-per-view, home pay-per-view, like there I mean 21 was a DVD release and things like that, but after that they slowly started to transfer into these premium live events and things like that.
So you guys, this is a good cross-generational thing. You guys are getting accustomed to the idea of WrestleMania being a multi-day event.
Yeah.
But I grew up on one day. And if you weren't lucky enough to watch it yourself, you had to wait until Monday night to find out what happened.
Right.
Yeah. But what do you think about it being over multiple days?
I used to like the idea of it until it happened. And I mean, especially this year, seeing how little wrestling was actually featured on the first night of WrestleMania. They made some audibles and night two was noticeably better, but watching night one of WrestleMania this year was awful.
Yeah,
there was more commercials. I mean, people in the stadium were even getting the commercials, and they're, you know, at the end they did a comparison, and I think there was like 5 or 10 minutes more of wrestling than there was commercials on a WrestleMania show. So we're in this era where the streaming wars are happening. Everything is being so commercialized that, you know, it's not like you turn on the pay-per-view like you did and you get to enjoy, you know, a 3-hour pay-per-view. No, it's two, you know, 5-hour shows with, you know, 2 hours of that, you know, being, you know, ad breaks or, you know, cut back to the pre-show crew for what do you think is going to happen in this match, even though we talked about that during the pre-show for so long.
There were times where they would cut. I remember as a kid for pay-per-views, there were times where they would cut to commercials, but a lot of the times there were WWE commercials.
Yeah, that's
or things
okay.
like that. And like I remember that. But like, no, I remember even when they had to fill in time, they put somebody out on camera.
Yeah.
They put something out there. And that was where a lot of those guys like Hurricane and stuff like that shined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mean Gene would be out there with a barbecue, something like that.
Right.
Whatever. Yes. But here's the thing, and I know we're almost out of time for our break, but I'll say it. I'm gonna rant.
Go for it.
Producer gets to rant.
Do it. I love it.
Okay.
Jono rant?
So here's the thing. Take any WrestleMania. What are we looking at? 9 matches, 10 matches, 10 good matches. Take WrestleMania now, 20 matches. I mean, I'm making up a number, but this works. For the sake of, you're looking at a wrestling event that's now like an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
It's like 10 matches, the 10 best matches. You're there, it's WrestleMania. So you're watering down the 10 good matches with 10 more good matches. And now all of a sudden, where's the specialness? It gets diluted. It's like, wow, there's 38 superheroes in this movie. We're going to see each one for about 4 minutes total. And then that's it. We're not going to enjoy any of it as much as if we had like even fewer, let's say 7 really big built up over a year matches.
Well, and you say built over a year. That's one thing that I wish they would do more is those big long story builds instead of
that
just
that you don't already see coming.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Instead of just everything starting right after the Royal Rumble and we get into this, you know, foot race of trying to put a card together, you know, as we go instead of building things out.
Yeah.
And we're going to get back to that. We're going to have way more to say about this topic specifically when we get back from Rex's World. We're going to take a break here at KXRW Vancouver Independent Radio 99.9 Vancouver. You can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
I'll be the quick relief to all your stressing.
Welcome back to Rex's World. And a point I gotta make on the two night episodes and everything like that is there was a point where a two night WrestleMania was something you got excited for, and I remember even being over at Ryan's house the first night or the first time WrestleMania was two nights, and we sat there after the show and we sat there and we're like, wow. Like we never thought we would get two nights of like wrestling like this, and have us feeling like this both nights, and that happened the next time, and then it happened the next time, and then eventually, it just there was something happened with WrestleMania, and I don't know if it was the ESPN deal, it was the network had already been established and everything. It wasn't the network's fault, but like, it just stopped being that way,
right?
It stopped being so much about just jam packing. The reason why it's two nights is because we've got all of these amazing matches, and they have to be that we have to show them to you,
right?
And it's not that case anymore.
No.
and it's even getting to a point where it's become where it seems like I mean the roster. I'm not a part of the roster, so I can't speak for the roster and say that they aren't being competitive for spots on WrestleMania, but it almost feels like between it becoming so far out of their hands and because there's so many less, you know, obligations to show up to, that it's become this, it's less competitive for that WrestleMania spot.
Uh-huh.
If you're not the main event guy, if you're not in the main event spot or opening the night, you know, you're usually finding a spot on WrestleMania and you'll be fine. At least, and if that's how it is from the outside looking in and it's not that way, shouldn't it be a problem that it's that way from the outside looking in?
I think you're right on the money. I think a lot of it has to go back to when TKO bought WWE, they came in and they really came in and tried to view this and make as much money off of this as they possibly could. They went full commercialization mode, full bore on everything. You know, you look at a WWE ring now and it makes you want to puke because there's so many different ad spots on that ring. And, you know, it doesn't look the same at all. And I get if you want to have like a title sponsor or something in the middle that makes sense, that's not going to take too much away. But when you've got one in the center, one in the corner, one on the other corner,
and then some flashing on the
LED sign, it's like we're watching boxing.
Yeah.
It's
owned by a boxing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's so commercialized that it takes away. And you were mentioning, you know, I never thought I would pine for the day where we didn't have the network. I mean, it was so, that made it so easy for us to tune in and watch, and everything was under one umbrella. And, you know, the whole ESPN deal is awful. You've got to, you know, luckily ESPN Unlimited has not done very well, and so they're incorporating it into, you know, your cable TV provider package. Luckily, I just figured out if you have any YouTube TV subscription that you get an ESPN channel, you can toggle through on the settings and unlock your access to ESPN Unlimited. So I'm able to watch the wrestling shows again, which will be nice. Hacking
your cable with Brian Black.
I mean, my whole thing is it's a monopoly on the American market because everywhere else in the world, you can tune into Netflix and you can watch the pay-per-views. So why in America do I have to spend $39.99 extra every month to get ESPN Unlimited so I can watch the wrestling shows that if I was in Canada, I would be able to get with my Netflix subscription? I already have too many subscriptions as it is. We can't watch everything. Everything is that, and this isn't just a wrestling thing. This goes to sports in general, where it's so hard to tune in and watch your team play that it's become so frustrating that you're not frustrated at your team, but you have this sense of frustration because it used to not be this way.
Yeah, the worst thing you had to worry about was the fact you didn't live in the same state as your favorite team.
Right.
That was the hardest part.
Right.
And you either eventually heard the news from the game eventually, mm-hmm. or you found a radio station you could tune into.
Radio station.
That radio, I listened to so many New York Giants games via the radio on an app on my phone when I was a teenager.
I remember when you could just go to NFL.com and go to your team's site and you'd be able to listen to the broadcast.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. You know, you have NFL Ticket, and I've always said this, NFL Ticket needs to have an option where Caleb can buy a NFL ticket that he's only able to watch the Giants games. He's a Giants fan. He doesn't need to watch all the games. He doesn't want to buy, you know, the $400 package and watch all the games. Right. He wants to buy the package and watch his Giants play in Vancouver, Washington.
Right.
How are we at almost to 2030 and we don't have that option on the table for us? Like, we have so many streaming options and we can't buy packages just to watch our team play.
No.
If I was in charge of major sports, you know, viewership, that would be one of the first things I did.
Yeah, and it's almost kind of like back in the old days, you're buying a package, you have to buy that package and then upgrade to another package, but then that still doesn't guarantee you're going to get every game.
Exactly.
That still is like a, and if you're lucky, we're showing your games.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's how it used to be, right, where you would just buy a cable package.
Right.
But now it's, buy this package, buy the extension, say you're a Giants fan, but it's like, okay, well, here's a few of the Giants.
Exactly, yeah. So it's taken off into this thing where it's, you know, sports are so hard to view that as a sports fan, it's frustrating to me.
And it carries over to other things. It carries, like, I was trying to find a TV show that's done by the group that does Super Troopers. It's called Tacoma FD.
It's
about the fire, them playing firefighters. Mm-hmm. And it used to be regularly available on Hulu all the time, and I even could find it on Netflix even, just regularly. Anytime you wanted to stream it, that's where you could go to stream it. And now it's, okay, well, it's here, but like, you have to buy this live TV package to be able to get also these shows. Mm-hmm. And it's like, since when? Why is Tacoma FD the show being held ransom?
Right, exactly. Like, yeah.
How does it know? You know what I mean?
How does it know that, like, this is just what I want to watch? Like,
it's impossible to have everything, to be able to see everything. And to think back in the day when we were, you know, sticking CD-ROMs into computers to play games and things like that, that, like, we're like, there's going to be one day where we could just see everything on one screen.
I know.
And we're still
not even close to that.
We can be. Yeah. We could be there. And there's lots of people that are there.
Right.
It's just that you have to be very good at hacking things and putting things different. You have to have the VPN. You have to have a VPN.
Well, even that starts to get flagged, because that's what I was using to watch the wrestling shows on Netflix for a little while. And then I started getting, oh, well, we realize that you're not really in Canada when you're watching this in your living room.
Oh,
and I would then I'd have to change it to, like, England or Paris, and then I'd get it for like 30 minutes, and then the same message would pop up, and I'd be like,
we're on to you.
So why am I paying for this VPN if it's just gonna keep flagging that I'm not in this location that I'm trying to be in? So this is becoming pointless.
Why do I have to be a Bond villain to watch Tacoma FD?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
He keeps changing where he's located, and then he just gets this random call. Yeah. He's like debating picking it up, and he picks it up. He's like, "Hello, the Netflix people. Ah, I told you."
This is the FDA. You can't get around us.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. Yeah,
it turns out it was Mackenzie that ratted you out.
It's a chore. It's a chore to view things these days. But it didn't used to be like that. I mean, I remember when I first came over to your house in middle school, and we watched WrestleMania 26, I think, was the first one we watched together, the one in Arizona, the first Undertaker Shawn Michaels match. One of my favorite wrestling memories of all time.
Yeah, when he challenged the streak.
Yeah.
Said he wasn't going to retire until he...
That was the first one that they had those two back-to-back. And back-to-back years, they put on the two best WrestleMania matches of all time.
Yeah.
But I remember that was the first WrestleMania that we watched together, and it was... I think we've only missed one or two together since then. So WrestleMania has always kind of been our, you know, no matter what, we go out of our way to figure out how we're going to watch WrestleMania.
Right. And for a while there, it was an excuse for another, like, Super Bowl party. Right. It was like, that's how we would run it. Yeah. We would invite groups of people over, yeah, and we'd have food. And, like, that was back when they all had the same mutual interest in it, or at least we could talk them into it.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Is
you can't talk the casuals into it.
Yes. Wrestling has become far harder to be, like, enticing them over.
Yeah.
There has to be certain things. Like, the Grande Americano reached pretty mainstream different people. Dominic Mysterio reached pretty mainstream with some different people, but then it started to cap off there. Like, mm-hmm, you got a little bit of Cody Rhodes, CM Punk brought the casuals that were old school fans back for a little bit, mm-hmm, but you don't have that kind of tie-in anymore. You got maybe when Cena was retiring, but...
Well, and I still think WWE has the same problem it had 10 years ago. They don't know how to develop the next crop of stars that they have, because they keep wanting to push the big names. They don't give the ball... I mean, look, with Sami Zayn, he had the belt for 9 days.
Yeah.
He was the definition of a transitional champion.
Well, they've invested so much into their talent program, and like they're talking legitimate athletes out of doing their sports or continuing to try to be a professional in their sport to come and wrestle.
Yeah.
And these are top tier athletes. Mm-hmm. And then you're also being the fact that you're the only game in town and you've been around forever and you're the WWE, your indie guys still want to come to WWE.
Right, right.
Like, that's still the end game for them. So, like, they still have no, like, yes, they can go to AEW, but they still haven't, like, they could be AEW stars, but still just have that not that itch, that niche in their mind of, like, I still need to be a WWE star. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm, WWE is still the end-all be-all, mm-hmm, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're always going to be that way, and it doesn't feel like they're using that to their advantage.
Right.
They're still, you know, I'm fine with, you know, you can keep using Roman Reigns, you can keep using Seth Rollins, but there's gonna be a cap at some point, mm-hmm, and you're gonna have to have these guys ready.
Right.
And I'm not sold that it's gonna be Oba Femi.
Right.
I'm not sold that it's gonna be Austin Theory or Logan Paul.
Right.
You know, I'm optimistic with the way they're treating Chad Gable.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll get some guys like that, but there's still a very big drop off between the guys they view as their main talent guys, and then you've got like your in between area where Dominic Mysterio hangs out, mm-hmm, and then you've got everybody else.
Well, and Dom used to be the biggest heel in the company for a while.
So did Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
Bron Breakker was on a rocket ship,
yeah,
to the next spot, mm-hmm, and now he's completely forgotten.
Yeah,
they've completely dropped. They're like, the Vision can go off into their own thing. We're not even going to include Paul in it anymore.
Right, right.
And it's,
yeah,
it's,
Paul just walked away, didn't he?
Yes, yeah, he just stopped. He like, I'm not. You guys don't need me anymore. Is what he basically said.
That makes the most sense.
Yeah,
because you're right. And that's happening a lot. Like, a lot of their talent will just not show up for a while. Mm-hmm. Right. And you almost don't, I don't want to say you don't miss them, but, you know, there's no noise about it. There's not any hoopla. Like, what happened to, it used to be if a star would disappear for more than a week, you know, there was an uproar. There was like, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah. Or at least in the chat forums and things like that on the internet.
Something, yeah.
Then, yeah, they would be talking about that. Until the vignettes started showing up with their new character, or they're coming back, or, you know, and it was a big deal when they would come back.
Yeah.
You would notice when they were gone for these gaps of time.
Or when we would get a genuine surprise. We're starting to see that a little bit more, but I genuinely miss when somebody would come back and it would just be no noise, no talk, and it would just, they would just appear, and it would be a genuinely, like, oh, moment, you know, kind, yeah, of a deal where you're, yeah, like, what is happening?
And they're,
like,
acting that differently, and they're a completely different,
right,
person.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like, when I'm pretty sure it was pretty abrupt that, like, suddenly JBL was JBL.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
and he
yeah.
just showed up.
It was like a week or two after Farouk, they let Farouk go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and suddenly we got JBL out yeah. of nowhere. And we're like, holy shit, this guy's the main bad guy. We all hate this guy.
Yeah.
It, you know?
That era of SmackDown was so fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Well, John,
I hated it growing. I mean, I hated JBL growing up, but like looking back on that
such
character,
such a critical role.
He came in and he was one of the first guys that went from just a tag team mid-card, you know, nothingness to being the next, you know,
from
the
Bradshaw
guy.
To Dave JBL.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, like that was I didn't believe it at first. I was like, that's not Bradshaw from APA.
Right.
That's not him.
Right.
Bradshaw from APA has long hair and a mustache. Mm-hmm. That's not him. And then the more I look at him and then I hear him talking and I'm like, oh my God, that is him.
Right.
And suddenly he's this rich guy.
and all that started because he got that Fox News gig back in the day. So if, I mean, you got to think, if he wouldn't have gotten that, then that character development might never have come to light for him. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It could have just fizzled out.
And such a crucial point in wrestling history at
right.
that point. Because
without him, you don't know how would John Cena have come onto the scene? Because that match with JBL and Cena at WrestleMania, but the... was great, but the match they had after it, Judgment Day, the I Quit match, was a fantastic match.
And you got to
a true blood war,
right? And you got to be so thankful for that era because you got guys like JBL, you got guys like Eddie Guerrero, you got guys like Benoit, you got guys, you know, these guys that had been around for a really long time in the Attitude Era, were just at that right age and just at the right gimmick to where they could be main event heels and get over your main event face guys.
Right.
Things that you would have needed to call Triple H for to do,
yes.
or call Shawn Michaels over
you
to
hit
do.
The money right on the
you,
head.
Things you would have had to grab your main stars that were making a killing on Raw and drag them over here to build up these guys.
Yeah.
Those guys did for
right.
you.
The insurgence of Booker T is another good example.
Yes, Booker T was another classic example of a perfect bad guy. It was, yeah, no, the King Booker part.
I was
King
just
going to
say,
was,
King Booker was one of my favorite gimmicks.
It was just taken off the rails so
yeah,
quick.
Him and Charmel together in that King Booker was fantastic.
King Booker was great. I always remember the grocery store.
Yes.
Austin
and him in the grocery store.
Was just, I will watch that like about once a year with fresh eyes and just go, this was as good as it got for
right.
They spent like $4,000, $4,000 or $5,000, so they could go in and destroy all that food and stuff in that grocery store.
Yeah,
such a cool thing. If you haven't seen that, you got to check that out.
That was back when they would put some money into their vignettes and things like that.
Beautiful.
It was a beautiful time. We could spend so much time here reminiscing about the classic times in WWE or our classic pro wrestling nerdisms. But we only get so much time here on Rex's World. And I know we didn't get to cover a lot of comedy this time. I hope you got some laughs as we got in. I hope you enjoyed myself. I hope you enjoyed Ryan and Jono. And shout out to Brian Brooks. Maybe we can get him to fill in an entire episode one of these times. He is technically still the co-host, but you know, who knows?
Coming for that seat.
Yeah, we still love him. He's still part of the show. Shout out to Brian Brooks. Shout out to all of Rex's World. Thank you for listening, guys. This has been Rex's World on KXRW Vancouver Independent Radio 99.9 FM. The beat of hip-hop has got me stuck like an airpipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason with pins I'm embracing.